I notice sometimes, often, that the Lord will speak to me as I'm coming out of sleep. And a lot of times as I wake up, I'll actually be speaking words. I don't know, I'm still not coherent enough to know if I'm physically doing it or if it's like dream, if I'm just thinking it, speaking it out of my sleep as I'm waking up. Amen? And this is what I heard. Trusting God has got to be about more than getting what you want. Trusting God doesn't mean you get what you want. It means you get his best. Amen? You know, so often we have ideas for what we want in any particular circumstance, and we think that because we want it, that it must be the best thing for us. Or at least we just want it, so we're unwilling to go. But we have to understand that trusting God is not just delivering to us what we want. You know, of course, we share scriptures about God giving us the desires of our hearts. And these things are true. These things are valid points. But God is not going to give you something to harm you. He's not going to do something in your life that's going to hurt you. He's not going to help you into something that will set you back. Amen? So we have to understand that when we trust God, part of trusting God is letting go of some of our natural things. And so if we've prayed, if we sought the Lord about something specific, if we're still at that place where we're after, you know, something specific, we have to understand that if it doesn't come to pass in our life, there's a reason for it. Now, the Bible says, you know, we have scriptures like in Mark 11:23, which tells us, can you bring that up actually really quick? Because we haven't brought it up in a while. Mark 11:23, glory to God. You know, we haven't brought it up in a while. And I just like to, you know, I know we have some newer people in here. So this is a foundational scripture for people of faith. Amen. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, we have to understand that this comes from a place of faithful people, people who are in faith, amen? Praise the Lord, who are in the plan of God, who are following the Lord, the work of the Lord, these things. And so Jesus has a promise here. But as you follow the Lord, you will learn, your spirit will block you from asking for certain things or going after certain things. Amen? And so if you follow God truly, then this scripture does apply. It's not hidden in smoke or anything like that. But we have to remember that there are kind of rules of engagement for the scriptures. Amen? That you just don't open the scripture and say, I can do whatever I want. Open the scriptures and make it effective in my life. You can't. For example, you can't be a terrible steward of money and then go to God and say, Lord, give me more money. He won't give it to you. You can't be a terrible steward of your church and say, Lord, make my church better and make my church more powerful and expect that will happen if you're a terrible steward of it. Now, of course, you know, if you're the only terrible steward and the rest of us are good stewards, God will still bless us and you will get blessed kind of by default. Amen? But I don't want to be somebody who's just blessed by default. Want to be somebody who's blessed purposefully, that when God pours out, that part of the reason he's pouring out is because of you. Amen. And so this is the goal for every Christian. And so this is the beginning of fruit of salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I posed this question last night, and it really was for this service, but I did ask it last night too. But I'm going to ask you again, if I were to ask what the Lord is doing in your life, would you be able to testify to it? What is the fruit of you being born again? What is the proof? What is the fruit? What is the sign of you being born again? Because if you are born again, you should have fruit attached to it. There should be things that you can point to in your life that say, this is God working in my life. And if you can't do that, you're focused on the wrong thing. God does not intend that he doesn't give us life so that we would be stale. Amen? He doesn't give us a life so that we could decay and so we could go backwards. He gives us life so we can go forward in life and produce great and wonderful fruit. God has made us to be fruit producers. Amen? And aren't you glad? Would you be able to testify to it? You know, there's so many Christians that just live. They live week to week and day to day in trial and trouble, and that's all they ever do in their life. And every time you see them, it's like, oh, it's another hill and another problem and another this and another that. Well, folks, if you're a Christian and you're living that way, something's off in the mix, because that is not the way God has intended you to live. That is not why Jesus died for you. That is not He gave you the Holy Spirit. That is not why he gave you the word. That is not why he gave you a local church. And that is not why he gave you a pastor. He gave you all these things so you could be edified, so you could be built up, so you could flourish in life. So that even when there is trials, you can conquer it and you can say, this is the fruit of my life. This is why, this is God working in my life. And so in reality, what it so often is people are so distracted by what's going on in their life that they don't see God working in their life. They fail to see the places where God, you know, sometimes God will show me in just little things, just how he arranged things just so something little would happen in my life. Glory to God. He'll show me that. Why? Because I'm seeking him. I'm open to him. I want to know that. I don't just focus on the bad things all the time. And that doesn't mean that I never have bad days or I never have bad moments. If you ask my family, of course, they can attest to the fact that I do. Glory to God. But they will also attest to the fact that there's always victory, that there's always fruit on the other side. In fact, when you start becoming a true fruit producer, the people, the old people from your life will look at your life and they won't understand it. They won't get it. They won't even know why. I've got family members that completely shun me and I don't even ever preach to them. When I'm around them, I just talk like normal. I don't sit there and say praise God or anything like that. But I literally have family members that I've grown up with, that I was close to, that completely shun me, that won't barely talk to me only because of the fruit. They don't understand what's going on in my life. They don't understand the process of things. So it scares them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But scary to people. Yeah. Should be scary to people. Not in the sense that, you know, like, you know, it's Halloween time, not like you know, spooks and goblins and ghosts and zombies and stuff like that. But I'm talking about, you know, that about their own lives. That our lives should be such a testament to to God in our lives, that others look at us and go, what's going on with them? Amen. That's the way we should live, because eventually that draws people in. Eventually that's the thing that people start, you know, they can't deny anymore. Amen. You know, I have somebody who is, I'm not close to, but they're in my family, and they were going through, several years back, they were going through some real issues. Now, this person is normally nasty to me and stuff like that, not very nice or all that thing, but when they were going through the stuff, you know who they called? Yeah, they called me. They were calling me, seeking advice from me. That's not my fault. That's theirs. You know what I mean? But that's the truth. And that's how we should live. There should be a testimony in our life. Amen. What is the fruit of you being born again? We should ask ourselves this all the time. If you've been saved, if you're like, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. If that's your testimony, then you should have more of a testimony beyond that. It should not stop at I'm going to heaven. You know, last night I was talking to people, I was talking to church about, you know, how so often one of the things Christians love to tell other people when they're going through something, have faith. But the problem is most people don't know how to have faith. They don't know what it means to have faith. Even most Christians don't know what it is to have faith. They say, well, what does it mean to trust God? And we have to know this. And see, the reason I've been kind of talking about this is because recently we were talking to somebody who was a Christian all their life. They've been in a church, been faithful to go to this church and all, or a church or churches or whatever. And you know, this was a thing that they proposed, a question or a conundrum they proposed, is they said that, you know, I'm going through this problem in life and people keep coming to me from my church and stuff like that. And they're saying, you just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. And this person is sitting there saying, faith for what? What do I got to have faith in? See, they've never been taught faith. That's why we teach faith. That's why it's such it's the foremost thing. It's probably the only thing, for the most part, or the biggest thing, the majority of the things that we will stay on in some level is faith. Why? Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen? And so if we are to live by faith and we're living right now, then we need to know that we're living by faith. Amen? And just so you know, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. If you don't know what to do, if you're afraid, if you're scared, if you're worried, if you're nervous, whatever you want to call fear, if you call fear, it doesn't matter what you call it, but it's all the same thing. It's the opposite of faith. True faith removes all fear. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what is the proof? What is the fruit of us being born again? Let's turn to John 15:8. I know you wanted to go there. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 15:8. Some of my favorite scriptures are found in John 14, 15, and 16. I just love these. Just love these chapters. Glory to God. John 15, 8. By this my Father is glorified. You bear some fruit, much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You know, my wife at the beginning of service read John 8, 31, 32. Scripture. We've been reading it pretty much every week since we started. Amen. But, you know, we know that it's important to be disciples of Jesus, right? Yeah. Disciples literally mean one who follows or, you know, follows the teaching of, they learn from, amen? And so I think few people would argue, a few Christians would argue with the fact that we're supposed to be disciples. But notice here he says, so you will be my disciples after, he says, you bear much fruit. And then he starts that off by saying, by this my Father is glorified. Now, when we think back to the Lord's Prayer, you know, we talk about that in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, or who is in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name is what we say, you know. Most of us recognize that, at least from Sunday school or something. But it's talking about that place of holiness, and holiness is being glorified. That's what you're doing when you're saying that. But notice what Jesus said in John 15, 8. He said, by this my Father is glorified. This is what lifts my heavenly Father up, that you bear much fruit. See, this idea that Christians don't need to be doing something, don't need to be bearing fruit, it proves that the truth of the word is lost in the church of God. Because there's a lot of Christians running around, they're thinking, well, it's just everything just happens by however God decides it's going to happen. And if this bad thing happened, well, God must have wanted this to happen. Or this bad thing happened, well, God must have wanted this to happen. Or this, you know, they think that God is, you know, and God is sovereign. But, you know, I preached this maybe a couple years ago. God is sovereign, but the Bible doesn't ever say sovereign. You know, that word isn't in Scripture. It doesn't call God sovereign. We know that God is sovereign, but God also operates within the realm of how he created things. He operates within the realm of his words. And so if he says it's going to do it, it's going to go this way, even though he had the power to decide in the beginning which way that is going to go, one thing God cannot do, I said cannot do, is God cannot lie. He cannot go back on his word. And so if he said something is going to operate this way, then it's going to operate that way. You can't pray to change it. Amen? That's what the devil likes to exploit. The devil knows the operations of the Lord. He knows it better than most Christians. And that's why Christians fail, because Christians are going along in life. They're doing their own thing, not necessarily according to the way God said to do it. They're doing things the way they want to do it. And then all of a sudden they come up against this problem and they think that it's God's will, which is the first lie of the devil. It's not God's will. The devil throws something, you know, the smoke screen up. You get distracted and you're not doing what God told you to do. And then you're where the blessing of the Lord is. And then people go to God and they're like, Lord, change us, Lord, change us. And he's in the whole time he's pointing to his word up there in heaven, pointing to his word and said, it's not up for me to change. It's for you to change. You have control over your life. One of the biggest misunderstandings that has run rampant through the church is that Christians don't have control over their own lives. You have complete control over your life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, you know, when I say that, of course, what I'm saying is you decide your outcome. You are always going to decide. Is the outcome going to be good or is the outcome going to be bad? God isn't up there pulling some kind of string saying, well, I'm going to bless this person, but not bless this person. It's foolishness. Yeah, it's like sitting your kids down and say, okay, one of you gets to eat tonight and I'm just going to pick one of you randomly. You know what I mean? Like the other one, I just don't want to feed. You know, I got enough. What would you do? You'd split it up between the three of them. That's why I said three, but you split it up between them, amen, if that's all you had. And that's exactly the way the Lord is. He is not looking at who he can just bless better for the standpoint of because he likes them better. Because, I mean, God can't complain about any of us the way we look, right? Because he made us all look the way that we look. So he can't say, well, you know, this isn't, you know, sometimes you hear about my beautiful child. You know, my mom said that about me a lot. She would say, this is my beautiful child. Glory to God. Notice she didn't deny it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You make sure my brothers watch this service. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, you know, he doesn't look and say, well, this is my talented child. He decided whether or not you were going to have a talent or not. Yeah, God decided those things in your personality. Like, some people look at different, man, I wish I could do that thing that other person can do. Why? If God didn't give it to you, why does it matter? See, these are all just distractions in life, amen? Praise the Lord. The Father is glorified that you bear, all of you bear much fruit. So here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you can sing really good. It doesn't matter if you can draw really good or paint really good or you're a great actor or you're a great orator. None of these things matter. None of the talents matter. None of them have anything to do with you bearing fruit. The Lord, you determining in your heart, I'm going to bear fruit, is what determines whether or not you'll bear fruit. Your faithfulness will determine the fruit that you bear. Amen? Praise God. God doesn't need talent. He gives us talent. You know what? I believe in part. I mean, it was originally, of course, we understand that God gave us all these things in order to glorify Him, that it was for His glory that, you know, that we were created and so on and so forth. But you know, we have to understand that these things aren't just, you know, somebody, you know, I love when you hear a famous singer or something like that to talk about the, you know, every once in a while you'll get one that'll talk about how God blessed them with this ability to do this or that, or an actor or something like that. But see, here's the truth of the matter. God didn't bless you with an ability to go out and live in the world as the world does. He didn't do that. So that's not the blessing of the Lord in the sense, you know. Personalities and stuff. So yes, he gave them that ability to, but it was for other things. Amen. John 15 says, you did not choose me. This is Jesus going on, right? You did not, this is just a few scriptures later. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my name, he may give you. Now, not he may give you like, oh, he might give it to you, but that he will give it to you. That's what it's talking about. And so a lot of times people are like, well, why do I pray and it's not answered? Are you bearing fruit to God? If you're not, if what you're praying for is not bearing fruit to God, then don't expect God's just going to be doling it out. If you're focused, if you're so focused on your own life that you hardly ever see God, then don't expect that God is just going to be pouring out in your life. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Praise God. So many people get distracted by these things. They get distracted by, living this life, and they separate this life from living a godly life. There is no separation. In true Christianity, there is no separation between this life and your spiritual life. They're one and the same. You live this life according to the Spirit, then that's probably why you have all the struggles you do, because you're living according to your flesh. What do I mean by when I say living according to the flesh? Well, do you make decisions based on your emotions? Or do you make a decision? Well, I'm going to do this because I'm angry. Or I'm going to do this because I'm sad. Or desire. I'm going to do this because I'm hungry. Making all these decisions. Now listen, I'm not saying if you're hungry, don't eat. But I'm just saying you can take that too far, can't you? You know, I have a tendency to want to take that too far with chocolate. I'm just saying. Amen. You know, when people have Kit Kats around or... I'm not even going to tell you all the stuff that I like because then it'll end up showing up here and can't have that. But man, it was for a year I talked about one particular kind of candy, and I'm sad that I even said that other word, but I talked about one particular kind of candy, and all of a sudden I think Jennifer showed up with bags of it. Like, what? Dear Jesus, God bless you. But I also want a gift certificate to have my suits let out too if you're going to do that. Because that gets expensive going back and forth. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Because I don't know anything about just eating one. You know what I mean? They have those candy. I don't know why they, all the Halloween candies, they say, well, I don't know if they still say it. They used to say fun size. There ain't nothing fun about that. And you stack four of those up. Now that's fun. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. If you don't have a sweet tooth, we know a young lady who doesn't like chocolate or candy or sweets. I don't get it. There's something wrong with her. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about too. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I don't get it. Like I go over the board. See, I take up her side of things. So, well, praise God. But we don't want to make decisions just based on our flesh. If we're making decisions constantly just based on our flesh, that's why we get into issues. You know, You know, some of the decisions that we have to make spiritually aren't always the easy decisions to make. And your flesh is going to say, no, don't make that decision. But you know in your spirit that you need to. Those are the ones that produce the most fruit. Amen. The decisions where you've had to lay that where you've had to lay down something in your life. You know, and that's really what the suffering of Christ is. The suffering of Christ literally was not, you know, it wasn't that he was sick. It wasn't that he was, that he didn't have ability or power. The suffering of Christ was that he had everything and he laid it all down. The suffering of Christ was literally that he took on human flesh. You have to think about this in context. If you want to understand how Christ suffered, he laid down his Godhead. He was God. He laid that down and he picked up human flesh. Human flesh is a weakness. There's weaknesses in human flesh. And he picked up that flesh. And in that human flesh, he had to make decisions constantly. I'm going to get into God's plan and I'm not going to follow my own plan. You don't think that Jesus was tempted to fornicate? Of course he was. He said, the Bible says that he was tempted in all ways as we were. You don't think that Jesus was tempted to go out and go party? You don't think that Jesus was tempted to not be persecuted all the time, but he was tempted to go do something that, I mean, with Jesus' talent, the Bible tells us that he did all things well. And so we know that as he walked through life, he had the ability. He was probably the most talented individual, but he laid all that down for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of doing what God has called him to do. And the Bible says that that was the joy that was set before him. Amen? And so Christians, we should be the same way. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will not find somebody. The Bible promises us that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, is the fullness of peace. That in God's presence, the fruit of the Spirit, like we're talking about fruit, in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. What are the first few are just the most wonderful, everyone's seeking. Love, joy, and peace. Yeah. Glory to God. That peace is full provision, full ability, full just never in lack. Glory to God. Jesus never lacked. I mean, he needed, I love this, I say this often, but I love it. He said, you know, they needed tax money. He said, go fishing. And the first fish you catch, reach in its mouth and there's a coin. See, Jesus knew he served a supernatural God. And because he served him flawlessly, he knew his life would be supernatural. This was the fruit of a Christian life. He gave us the example of how to live as a Christian. You remember that Christ is not Jesus' last name. Amen. It literally means Messiah or Savior. You know, it means, and so he was the one who was, he was the Christ, amen. He was the Savior. And so we are called Christians. Praise the Lord. So we're in that line. That's our heritage. That's what we're to produce. Amen. Here in the world. Well, glory to God. And so Jesus, Jesus' sufferings, when we pick up our cross daily and follow him, I love it that it says pick up your cross daily. Because when it says pick up your cross daily, it lets us know that he's not saying that you martyred every single day, because we know that's an impossibility. If you get martyred, you're martyred once and then you're done, right? And so when he wasn't saying that you want you physically go nail yourself to the cross, but whatever that burden is that you have to pick up to follow me, to follow God, that's the burden that you carry. And that's the only burden you carry. Remember, we've been in Mark 11, in the end of chapter of Mark 11, where he says, take upon you my yoke, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yeah. That's the burden he's talking about. And why can he say that his burden is light? You know, the Bible talks about angels coming to minister to him. To, you know, like when he was in the garden and stuff, when he was there and he was so like in his mind and his soulish realm, you know, the Bible tells us he was sweating like great drops of blood. And well, what do we understand about that? We understand he was in such mental torment, what he knew he had to do. Have you ever been in torment? Maybe not quite so much as you were sweating great drops of blood, but we understand that that's the place where Jesus was. And angels came to minister to him. And then what was he able to do afterwards? He was able to go to the cross willingly. And so we understand that's the connection in all of this, that when God says to yoke yourself to him, that means to follow his plan. When you take on his burden, even though it's hard for you in a moment, he will come and help you carry that burden. And so when you take up your cross daily and follow the Lord, if you stay in faith, if you stay in that place of that connection with God, He's going to help you walk that all out. And so it's not something that is going to destroy you like regular life would. See, a lot of Christians have used these scriptures over the years to exemplify why life is such a burden and it's so heavy. And oh, just one fine day when we finally get over I can't even say it all because I don't even know all the old religious mumbo jumbo. When we finally get to the promised land, when we finally get there, you know, when we finally die and go to heaven, when we're finally out of this mess of a world, that is not how Jesus taught us to live. That is not how the Apostle Paul taught us to live or any of the other apostles. If you're living that life, you're not living the life that God has for you. Right. Praise the Lord. You're not. If you're living that life that's just destruction and pain, I'm not telling you this to make you look at your life and say, oh, I guess I'm just a terrible person. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying recognize it's not God's life and say, okay, now it's time to get in God's life. Because if that's the life you're living, there's a better life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:7. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Amen. Love the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:7. Oh, these are some good scriptures. We're going to read through verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. Okay, so for all those who say God works in mysterious ways, stop. Why? Because He has made known to us the mystery of His will, right? If He has made known to us the mystery of His will and God is still a mystery to you, then you need to come to church and listen, right? Ready to receive. Praise the Lord. Because God he's not just going around keeping things all mysterious and hidden from us. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation, I started at 9. I want to start at 7. In Him we have redemption. Sorry, forgive me. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So in Jesus, we have the redemption. Glory to God. We've been bought back. So we've been redeemed from the past. You know, when you redeem something, you turn it in and you get whatever it is. If you get a coupon for a free Frosty or a free free McFlurry. I don't like McFlurries. I know you do. They have vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream just shouldn't be. The only thing vanilla ice cream is good for is a base for chocolate. I'm just saying, but anyways, yeah. If you have, my wife has a certificate for free Frosty. Frosties are good. Yeah. No, chocolate Frosties are pretty. Those are from Wendy's, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, I even get my fast food mixed up. So if you have a coupon for that and you redeem it, you get that thing, right? And so we are the same thing. We've been redeemed. We're the free Frosty, not McFlurry because it's vanilla. Praise the Lord. We're the free Frosty. We are the free the free whatever. That's our glory to God. We have been bought back. We are the prize, the thing at the other end. Amen. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. By the way, if you didn't know this, the devil hates this scripture. He hates the fact that God redeemed you. Because just when the devil thought that he had all control, just when he thought it was all good, when he thought, oh man, I got them right where I want them, Jesus came and redeemed you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know what He did? He took you out of Satan's control and you put it back where you needed to be. That's exactly what He did. Listen, if you came up to me and I just redeemed my free Frosty and you said, hey, that's mine. I said, no, it isn't. I had the coupon. It was my Frosty. You can't take it from me. I'm going to eat it and I'd eat it in front of you and I'd enjoy it. Amen. That's exactly what us Christians are doing right now. We should be living a life that's eating that Frosty in front of the devil saying, hey, you can't take it no more, buddy, because I've been redeemed. Glory to God. I'm eating my Frosty. putting all over my suit. Praise the Lord. I've been redeemed. Man, he took us out of the devil's control and put us in his. Why don't we live there? Why don't we just live in that? Why don't we have fruit? Why don't we say, hey, listen, we're going to be a never-ending frosty maker. That's what we're going to be. Praise the Lord. So we have the redemption according to the riches of his grace, which he made to what? Abound us. Man, how... So the riches of his grace, grace is God's ability working in us. Amen. So according to those, the riches of his grace, he makes them abound to us. There's a catch here. In all wisdom and prudence, knowledge and holy love of the will of God. That is where all things abound in our life. In wisdom and knowledge and holy love of the will of God. Hallelujah. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. Now we can go back here and now I can say that, right? Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And so he purposed this in himself. He decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this. I'm going to set this free. Praise the Lord. It is not enough just to be a Christian anymore. But what are you doing with your Christianity? There are so many Christians out there, and I want to speak to them. I want to reach them and preach this message to them. There are so many Christians out there that are just bebopping through life. They're just going on. They're just kind of charging through life, and it's not really all that good. And they think that the bulk of their Christianity is just to get them into heaven. And if that's where you stopped, that is the equivalent of spitting in the face of Christ. I'm just, Christians, we can't just live, okay, we're Christian people. It's not enough to be able to say that. What's the proof that you're saved? What's the proof that you received salvation? What's the proof that you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you? What's the proof? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Christ from the dead. He's the very power of God. He's the one that hovered over the face of the waters. The one that made everything just the way it is. He is the very power of God. What is the proof that that's on the inside of you? Ask yourself this. We need to ask ourselves all the time, am I living a life that looks powerful? And then, you know, there's stages. We're not going to start off as, you know, Niagara Mohawk. You know what I mean? We might start off as a little, you know, a little backyard windmill or something. But eventually, we'll get to Niagara Mohawk if we keep pursuing the right course. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. It is not just enough to be Christian anymore. What are you doing with your Christianity? You know, there's people, I've known many Christians over the years. In fact, I remember growing up, I remember very often reflecting on this, you know, people being just Christian people, you know, a good Christian life. And what do we always mean by that? Well, they church, you know, maybe they read their Bible once in a while. They maybe didn't swear, didn't drink a lot or something like that. You know, they just, you know, they lived a pretty pleasant life. They're just decent people. That's not what Christianity is about. That's all that stuff is good. All that stuff, yes, you should live a life that's not, in your face and kind of, you know, just doing all these crazy things, you know, but that's not a good Christian life. A good Christian life is a life that's producing fruit for God. A good Christian life is where people look at your life and say, like, I need that part. I need to figure out whatever that is. Whatever's different in their life, that's what I need. Amen. Glory to God. And this is what we're trying to build a church on. We're building a church on people who just want to be Christians, not people that just want to be saved. I'm thankful for people who want to be saved. That's a great place to start. I'm thankful that you want to know Jesus. But I am not good with people just sitting here just knowing Jesus. I don't want people to just have their fire insurance. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who sit in church just because they have fire insurance. But they don't have any intention on going out there. Maybe once in a while, they'll talk to somebody, try to help somebody, and then they'll pat themselves on the back feeling really good. But are you changing the world? We are meant to be world changers, glory to God. And maybe we don't have to, I'm not saying that we have to start off in some kind of crazy, you know, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, oh, you got to sign up for mission trips or you got to sign up for this. It is your obligation to get before the Lord and find out what he's called you to and then follow that path. through fruition. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, amen. And now these scriptures I have connected down to Ephesians. It's on the same page in my Bible. But Ephesians 2:10, so if you were in Ephesians 2 or 1, 7 through 9, let's skip down to 2:10. Look what it says here. It says, for we are his workmanship. Whose are we? We're his. You don't belong to you anymore. Amen? You want the benefits of God. I'm just going to tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you something kind of bold. Something you might not like to hear. But if you have been, if you've received salvation, if you want to receive from the blessing of the Lord, you do not belong to you anymore. You don't get the choice of just doing whatever you want. You must lay down free will. Folks, that's where it's at. You can't hide that. We can't keep that back. Listen, you don't just get to choose to do you anymore. It's not in the cards. And if that's the Christian life you're going to live, you're living a false Christian life. Amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So you have been recreated, you could also say, I think the word's the same, but because we know that we've been reborn, amen, or born again, or, you know, praise the Lord. But we've been recreated for something. He wasn't just going to say, okay, I'm going to do all this for you, and then you just sit back and do nothing. He said, I'm doing all this in you, now you work for me. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Have anyone ever seen, I'm not telling you to go watch it, but have you ever seen The Godfather? And what do you say to somebody? He says, someday, after he made the deal with the guy, he said, someday, this day may never come, I'll call on you for a service. Does anyone remember that? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. That's kind of the same thing with God. He's our Godfather. Amen. Praise the Lord. But and he isn't saying someday and this day may never come. He says someday, and that day is now, starts today, that if you've received this from me, now, in a real non-spiritual, God wouldn't say this, but I'm saying it, your butt is mine. Hallelujah. But it's not that bad, because he said, when your butt is mine, you're taken care of. Right. Amen? Yeah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Someday in that day may has come, praise the Lord, we'll serve God. So God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. I don't know if that was a good way of showing you all that, but that's what I chose. Amen? Praise the Lord. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. It sounds an awful lot to me like Jeremiah 20:11, which so many people say it doesn't apply to us, but it sounds a lot like that. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 20:11 tells us, for I know the thoughts and the plans I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, I have a plan for you, things that you should do in that plan. And because I've ordained them, they're good. You know what I mean? I'm breaking it down, but that's what he's saying. It's our job to find the plan that God has for us, to discover our works and then to walk in them. That's what our job is. Our job is not to, your job is not to even figure out how you're going to pay your bills. This is what I love about following our God. See, we've presented this prosperity gospel for a long time. And I will still preach it because I still believe in it. But there's a connection to it that we can't forget. God doesn't bless you just so you're rich. He blesses you so you can go without hindrance. So you can move towards him and move where he wants you to go without worrying about how you're going to get there. He says, don't worry about the how anymore. Don't worry about the whys. All you need to do is worry about the what. What are you called to? And then do it. And he says, I'll take care of all that. See, that's the thing. There's how many people in here, and I would dare say that probably don't raise your hands, but most of you could raise your hands. How many people in here, I just want you to think it to yourself, don't raise your hand. How many people in here have labored in life and just felt like, man, this is all it is just labor. I'm just laboring and laboring and laboring. It doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere. You know what you're doing? God's job. That's what you're doing. God did not call you to just labor and labor and labor through life. Isn't it a distraction to you? I mean, if you've ever been in that place, and I've been in that place so many times I can't count. I'm not in that place anymore. I won't walk. I won't go back to that life. I will not go back there. No stinking way you couldn't pay me enough to go back there. Amen? But I've been through that life where it's just like labor and labor. Is there any hope? Is there any way out? Will it ever change? You're trying to do God's job, and that's why it ain't working. Our job is not to do that. Our job, now listen, it doesn't mean that you don't have to have a job. Of course you do. But when you follow the Lord, He takes care of all things when you trust in Him. Yeah. So even your job, He may lead you in your job. He may lead you out of your job. He may lead you somewhere totally different. But one thing I do know about God, when He leads you, it will not lead you away from your church. It will not lead you away from your pastor. It will not lead you away from Him. It will not lead you away from your family. It will not cause you know what I'm saying? I mean, there may times, obviously, there's times where I've been called away and I have to go, and I'm away from my family and stuff like that, but not permanently away from them. I don't have to drop, I don't have to drop my wife now because, I'm following God, not unless she decides to stop following God. But we have that agreement. We have that understanding that either one of us stopped following God, the other one's gone. See ya. That's the way it is. If you're not following God, you can't go with me. Because if you're not following God and I'm yoked to you, then by default, I don't follow God. And I'm yoked to Him. So we're first and foremost yoked to God. So if the other one isn't going along, well, they better either drag along or get on board real quick, right? Because that's just the way it is. Amen. But it is our job to figure out what God wants us to do specifically. And He may have us working jobs. He may have us, I remember counseling a young buck, praise the Lord. He had been in some jobs and he had been blessed. He had been blessed with different opportunities. And each opportunity was better paying for him, opened up more doors and stuff like that. And one of his things that he always said to me is he said, it's just on my heart to pay off the church. Not our church. He went to a different church. But that was to say, it's just on my heart to pay off the church. And I said, and he worked for this. He happened to get this job for this Christian that also works in that, it also goes to his church. And so he worked for his business. And he was increasing, but not what he thought he should, right? But one of the things that his presence in the business was doing was increasing the business. Yeah. And that person, the business owner, was a tither and was also a giver, okay? So we were talking about this one day, and he was a little bit upset, a little bit mad because, they had this just awesome year, and he didn't pay it as much of a raise as he thought. And I said, isn't your heart to pay off churches? He said, yeah. And I said, well, you're doing that just by being there, because if he's doing, what do you care if the money comes from you or him? What does it matter? See, that's what we always say, well, I want it to come through me. Because why? Because then you get the glory for it. I'm not saying that was his heart, but I'm just saying that, the thought in us. Sometimes you will help somebody else to be the one who gets the glory. That's the word of God right there. Sometimes you will be the one, you will be the one used to, maybe your job will never be to do anything more than to put envelopes in the back of the seat. Part of the plan. I'm not saying it is. I'm not pointing at anyone, and or maybe your job is to clean toilet or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Maybe your job will never in the body of Christ will never be seen in some great manifested way, and you'll get whatever. Praise God. I think about that all the time. Those things all the time. I don't really care what God calls me to. I just want to be faithful to do it. If He calls a small, fairly small church. I mean, this is a good-sized church, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about in the scope of all churches. This wouldn't be considered a huge, large church. But if this is what God called me to the rest of my life, I'd have no problems with that. But on the other hand, I have no aspirations to be somebody who stands in front of thousands, 10,000. But if God called me, us too, because it's our job just to walk that out, amen. And that, and walking that out will lead you sometimes in places that maybe you didn't want to be. I say this all the time. One of the things I would love to do naturally is get the heck out of this state. I am just done with this state. I look at people having fun in other states, and I think I want to be there because I'm just done with what they're doing here. That's the way I feel. But God planted me here for a reason. Yeah. Amen. He didn't put me here because it didn't need change. He put us here because it needed change. All the good people out of the bad areas, guess what happens to the bad areas? They get worse. Amen. Glory to God. Because we do have say, we do have control. And we have that through our prayer. We have that through our presence, for our desire for the word of God, our hunger for the things of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. No more sideline Christianity. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. It's time to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing, I like baseball, and I like it for different reasons than probably most people do, but I love baseball. And but one of the things I know about baseball is this. There is a lot, and there has been a lot, of baseball players, hasn't there? But I could guarantee you that if you could go to most of us and ask, unless you're a baseball fan, if you went to the majority of people in here, they maybe could name a handful of players, but not a lot, right? Why? Because there's a few that have stood out. The same thing goes with our faith. Some stand out, some don't. Some people, you know, there's some, and what I mean stand out is I mean stand out in faithfulness, stand out in willingness, stand out, you know, there's people in this church that have stood out, but most people wouldn't even look at and think, oh, they don't, but as a pastor, you can see it in their lives. You can see them standing out spiritually. Amen. Glory to God. You know, and so that it's kind of the same thing, you know, in anything. Of course, we can name a lot of times, name the ones that are really talented. You know, you can, there's a few baseball players that probably just about everybody knows, at least on some level. But it takes all of them to make the team. Amen. Praise the Lord. The reason so many Christians fail in life is because the devil has distracted them on them. You with you. What's your distractions in life? What keeps you from living a joyful life? Is it always something to do with you? Right? I mean, isn't it always something to do with us? Like, oh, this isn't good for me right now, or this doesn't make me, you know, if I didn't have to work, it's, you know, I say this stuff all the time. You know, people used to talk about my wife and I, we would go away a lot. They used to make, yeah, so I wish I had your money. You know, we would do that when we had next to nothing. You know why? Because we learned how to do it. What we did was we would do whatever way we figured we had to eat anyways. If we had to pack a cooler full of peanut butter and jelly, that's what we did. As long as we could afford gas to get there, we did things on the cheap a lot. But we took our kids places. Why? Because it was important for us to be with our family. When you desire to do something, you'll make a way to do it. Oh, yes, you will. You will make sure that you can. You will make sure that there's a way to do it if you desire to do it enough. Amen. And that's the same thing with the things of God. If you desire to do things, and we still live that life. But I'll tell you right now, if you desire a vacation, if that's something that you desire, you start making it happen. Yeah. But you be faithful to God. If you desire a nicer house, then start making it happen. If you desire a better job, you start making it happen. Amen. Glory to God. There's different ways of doing things. You know, I mean, there's a lot of specifics I'm not going to get into just because I can't teach everything all in one shot. But amen. Turn to Psalm 37. We're getting here, getting through to the other side. Ooh, carpet, you just wait. You're on your way out. Carpet, you're going. I want everybody to take a moment right now as you're turning, just glance. Unless you go into my office because we have it in there too, and that's where. Psalm 37. Praise the Lord. Verse 5. Oh man, this is so good here, this stuff. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. The word commit is so interesting. It means to roll together or to wallow. Amen. Now, I looked up the word wallow in the dictionary because I know what wallow is, kind of. But I saw something interesting in it that I didn't see before. The word wallow in the dictionary, you know, a pig would wallow in the mud. And part of the purpose of it doing that would be to cover itself with mud to protect itself from the sting of insects, right? From biting insects and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. So they would wallow in the mud to do that. When it says commit your way to the Lord, to roll yourself up in it, to wallow, think about that in the connection to protecting yourself from stings. Now, of course, the Bible, you know, the Bible talks about that, you know, we will trample on snakes and scorpions, you know, things that sting, things that bite, things that, and the idea is, of course, not actual snakes and scorpions. We're not, you know, there are some churches that still do that where they pick up rattlesnakes and stuff. Watch a documentary and one really interesting. It's sad, but it's really interesting. But people, yeah, they literally do that. And sometimes people die when they get bit. And they just believe it's God's will if they die. Yeah, they say, but they know they could get bit. They believe if it bites them and they die, it was God's will. But they take those scriptures out of context. But those scriptures are talking about all the enemies of that are out there, the demonic entities, stuff like that. You know, the things that will sting us, the things that will try to convince us and stuff like that. But committing your way, when you commit your way to the Lord, when you roll yourself up in God's plan, when you wallow in God's plan, glory to God, you've coated yourself with a protection that keeps you from that. Now see, all that, you got to go digging to find all that stuff. But isn't that awesome? I mean, when you see that, there's reasons that God used these terms and these ideas. You know, in the word in Hebrew, the word commit, it literally means that. It means to roll yourself up into it or to wallow into it. Place those connections with me. But we see that one of the things that God's plan does is it protects us from the destruction, and not just the destruction, but it'll even protect you from the annoyances. You know, sometimes, a mosquito bite in general, in this country, in general, I'm saying, a mosquito bite is not going to kill you, right? Or lake flies or something like that's probably not going to kill you. Of course, what were those flies that we had biting us on the island? Stable flies, oh, they were terrible. They bite you. They wouldn't even leave a welt, but it just hurt when they bit you. And so, well, whatever. But, sometimes they're just annoying and it's just constant and stuff like that. Well, the committing yourself to the plan of God will protect you even in those areas. That's what peace is about. Listen, I don't know if you've had, I remember one night I was camping with the boys. And we were all, I was all done up in my, we were in a lean-to and it was all in my sleeping bag. And there was this one mosquito all night long. I don't think he ever landed on me and bit me. But every, few seconds, all night long, I heard, they come right by your ear, they know right where to get you. I swear that mosquito was possessed by the devil himself. And he just kept there just to keep me awake, just to keep bugging. You'd swat at your head because that's a natural reaction even in your sleep. It was an annoyance. There's no peace in that. I didn't wake up, that was a good night's rest. No, and that's exactly what God's leading. One of the fruits of the Spirit is, what's the fruit of your life? One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. It's living in that place where those annoyances, they just can't get to you. They try, but they can't get to you. It's like you got a bug net on, amen? Praise the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Yeah. Folks, what are we upset about? What have we been about? Yeah. Rest in the Lord. Yeah. Well, things don't look the way I want. Rest in the Lord. It's not your job to take care of that stuff anyways. It's not your job to make you famous. It's His job. Yeah, I'm using that as an example, but it's not your job to do that. You haven't got to labor for those things. Amen? If God wants you famous, there ain't nobody can stop it. Amen. See, that's the opposite of what we're all trying. We're like, I can just get there. But see, if it's in God's will and you follow that will, there's nobody who can stop it. Right. Jesus said, go away and don't say anything about this. Right? Because He was trying not to drum attention to Himself at the time. He said, go away and don't say anything about this. But what did people do? They went away and said something about it. He couldn't stop people from coming to Him. He said, let's get away and rest for a little while. And then all of a sudden, hordes of people showed up to where they were. Why? Because God made them famous. Yeah. Amen? A little Jewish carpenter in some, podunk town in the middle of nowhere in the desert, he made him change the entire world. Think about that. I mean, it's amazing. Amen? He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Rest and wait. Rest and wait. Do not fret. And literally the word fret is to be angry or displeased. Do not be angry or displeased because of Him, somebody else, who prospers in the way that He's going. Right? Because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not be angry or displeased. It only causes harm. Amen? So don't be looking at everybody else's stuff and saying, I want what they have. See, people get distracted by everything else, right? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Praise the Lord. We don't get everything today. We don't get everything tomorrow. We wait on the Lord until it comes and trust in Him. 14:27, I'm just going to pull it up for you. It says here, can you go ahead and pull it up? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace comes from being wrapped up in His plan. Are you bearing fruit? His peace will be there. Because that's part of the fruit that you will bear. Amen. But He says, I'm leaving it with you. I give it to you. I'm not giving it to you the way the world gives it, so don't try to get it the way the world gets it. Right? Let not. You choose to let not your heart be troubled or to let it be afraid. The choice is yours. Do you want to be troubled and afraid? Well, then you keep living the life you live. You're never going to find peace in the world. So don't think you can. If you have that thought come to you, and I want to end on this note, because many of us do. If I just had a little more money, then I'd be okay. No, you won't. If I just had a new car, I would be okay. No, you won't. Even if your car's broken, that's not going to make you okay. If I just had this, I would be okay. If I just had that spouse, if I just had 15 kids, if I just had this, if I just had that. See, we can always put it on something. If I just had a better paying job, I'd be okay. No, you wouldn't. Just being in the plan of God will ensure that you're okay. There's no guarantee in the world. None. Because you see people in the world all the time. They're not necessarily happy. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Amen? And so as we leave here today, ask yourself, when you're going through your life, as you're going through life, what's the fruit of my salvation? Is there fruit in it? And if there's not, turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready to have fruit. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to walk in your peace. Amen?